Okay, Chaver, this is Rosh Hashanah Torah from the year Tafshin Beis. Again, on the English calendar, that would have been September time of 1941. But by the Torah calendar, it was the year Tafshin Beis, the beginning of the year Tafshin Beis. Okay, well, we're going to skip the first piece that he has here on Rosh Hashanah on page Kuf Pei Hei. And we're going to start in the middle of the page on Kuf Pei Vav, where he quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim. Tiku b'chode shofar b'kesel yom chagenu. Ki chok li Yisrael hu, mishpat leilokei Yaakov. Tiku, b'chod shofar, sound the shofar, b'kesa liyom chagenu. B'kesa, the Gemara says, b'kesa means that a holiday in a time of Pesach, middle of the month, Sukkot, the middle of the month, right? Purim, middle of the month. Beginning of the month, the moon is in still somewhat of a concealed state. So we sound the shofar b'kesa liyom chagenu, in a time of concealment. But let's see what the Rebbe does with it. He starts by referencing that Gemara. Ki zeu achag shalavana bonis kasa. This is the holiday where the moon is in a state of concealment. The beginning of the month, the moon hasn't yet expressed itself. You don't see the full shine of the moon. It's still hidden. Now, why is the moon hidden? Why is the moon hidden? Why on the day of judgment should the moon be hidden? As is known to us from the Zohar HaKadosh, Hazinu Hashamayim Va'adabeira V'sishma Ha'aretz Imreifi. You know the Pasuk in Parshas Hazinu. Hashem calls upon what? Hashem calls upon the sun and the moon to testify against us. The sun and the moon can sometimes be seen as two witnesses, because they witness everything that happens in the world. So therefore, when we're on trial, Hashem says, I'm going to hide the moon. So that way there are not two witnesses to testify against the Jewish people. Look at the words again. Kadei shelo yimtso beiz edim. We know about that. Lo yakum ed echad ba'ish. Api shnayim edim yakum davar. We'll learn a lot more about it this year. But that there shouldn't be two witnesses against the Jewish people at the time of judgment. Aval. But here's the problem, says the Rebbe. We kind of forgot about the main judge. So the sun is always out. Right? The sun never goes through, you know, stages of concealment, although the sun also sometimes is obscured by the clouds. Right? The moon is also always really there. Just the positioning of the sun determines kind of what we're seeing or not seeing. But even if you hide the moon, and now you're down to one witness, the sun, what about the other witness? Who's the other witness? Hashem. Aval halo omrim alav yisbarach hu hayodea va'ed. Does it not say in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah that Hashem is the Odeya? Hashem knows everything, Va'ed, and He bears witness to everything. So aren't we in trouble nonetheless? Imkain, Gam Hu Yisbarach Yachol Le'ed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to testify. Aren't we in trouble either way? So says the Pasuk, He's also the witness though. He's the Odeya Va'ed. So says the Pasuk, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu. What's the whole pasuk? What's the next part? Next pasuk. Ki chok li Yisrael hu, mishpat leilokei Yaakov. V'al zeh omer ha-pasuk mishpat leilokei Yaakov. What does that mean? Ha-mishpat sh'anu nishpatim b'yom zeh, eino li Yisrael levado, rak gam lo yisbarach. Hashem is also being judged in Rosh Hashanah. If you've never heard this concept before, you heard it here now. Hashem is also being judged in Rosh Hashanah. You know why? What do you mean, Hashem? David said Hashem is the judge. Yirmiyah says Hashem is the aid. And the Piyaz Atzerebi is saying Hashem is on trial. They're all true. Hashem is the judge. Hashem is the witness. But Hashem is also on trial because whatever the Gzar Din of the Jewish people is going to be, whatever the state of affairs of the Jewish people is going to be in the world, that's going to reflect, on the most simple level, that's going to reflect on people's perception of the Jewish God. So if Hashem treats us well, people are going to say, wow, the Jewish God is really nice. If Hashem causes us to be downtrodden and broken Jews, that's not going to look very good for Kvod Shemayim. Like we've been learning all week that everything Hashem created was lichvodo, so then it's not going to bring a lot of Kvod Shemayim when the Jewish people are impoverished and the Jewish people are suffering. So says the Pasuk, Mishpat Leilokei Yaakov. He cave and she Israel shavim b'tshuva, u'mekablam ol malchuso yisbarach aleinu b'shofar. When we sound the shofar, Rosh Hashanah, again, go back to the first part of the pasuk. Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu. When we accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we do tshuva, we accept Hashem as king through the sounding of the shofar, kinoda shehi kabbalas ol malchus shamayim, because that's what the sounding of the shofar is. It's the declaring of Hashem. It's the coronation of the king. Vizchadshus malchus o yizbarach, it's the renewal of Hashem's kingdom. As kol zesh nogea li Yisrael nogea lo yizbarach. So then the one who's, so to speak, doing the crowning, us, right? If we're the ones who are empowered to make Hashem, to declare Hashem king, so therefore we're clearly deeply connected to him, which means that whatever's going to happen to us is nogea, is relevant to him, and vice versa. So says the Rebbe in the bottom paragraph. Vizeu tiku b'chode shofar. Now let's learn the psukim. Let's learn these two psukim as a shaklavataria, as a little sugya. Tiku b'chode shofar. You should sound the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Vitashuvu b'tshuva. It brings you to repentance. U'kabbalas ol malchus shamayim. And the acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as King of the World. B'kesel yom chagenu. Shalavana bonus kasa. But this is taking place at a time when the moon is concealed. V'lo ye beiz edim negdechem. And that's good because that means that in case we remember that it's not just crowning the king, but it's also the Yom HaDin, well, you don't have two witnesses to testify against me. V'im tomar, and if you'll say, Halohu yizbarach hayodeo va'ed, and if you'll say, but God, you yourself bear witness, you know what we are and who we are. Aval, says the next pasuk, ki chok li Yisrael hu, mishpat leloke Yaakov. That which we're going through in Rosh Hashanah, you're also going through in Rosh Hashanah. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't serve as a witness. Why? Because you're on trial. David said you're the judge, but we're saying it differently. We're saying, no, Hashem, you're with us in the trial. Mishpat leloke Yaakov, you're being judged as well. Chok hazeh hu li Yisrael. Sha mishpat eino li Yisrael levado. The truth of what's happening here, right? And there's an element of chok to when God's on trial. What does that mean? Element of chok, something that we can't really understand. But the law is of the land is it remains true, and the fact that Hashem is on trial remains true. So the chok hazeh, this ruling, this teaching, this idea, that not only is Yisrael in a state of mishpat, but rak gam li lokei Yaakov, Hashem is also on trial. Hashem is also being assessed in accordance with the status of the Jewish people. So if God is on trial, he can't testify about something he's nogea in, or nogea to. We would need, in theory, other witnesses. But since the moon is in a state of concealment, so now there are no witnesses. There's no one else that's always there watching. Right? So we're confident that we're going to be Zocha B'din. In other words, it's the P.S.S. the Rebbe's way of, again, subtly petitioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, Rabbono Sha'olam. Right? Klal Yisrael are in their most difficult, sunken, broken state probably in all of world history. And you should know, Hashem, that that reflects really badly on you. Right? That reflects badly on you. And this is no gaya to you. And if you'll tell me, the Jewish people deserve it, and I'll bring witnesses to testify, well, who are your witnesses? The sun and the moon? The sun is available. The moon is in a state of concealment. Hashem, you're going to serve as one of the what? One of the witnesses, because you're Yodei of Ha'ed, but you're also on trial. Realize that you're on trial, Hashem. And then they'll realize that we don't have witnesses, and throw out this, you know, this court case. Set me free from this gizar din. Yeah. Exactly what Moshe says, right? If you kill off your people, what does that say about you, God? Right.
And then, question, I don't know how, technical we need to get
right.
But it isn't so often that the sun and the moon are out at the same time. So, it's very rare that...
So we have to wait. We have to finish the first parak of Makos. Then we'll be able to find out. If you saw from one corner and I saw from another corner, we'll have to figure it out. Okay. Right? The witnesses have to see at the same time. Okay, yeah. I mean, I like Torah like that, where it, you know, it's not just generally playing by the rules, but it even gets into the nitty-gritty details of the halacha and shows how, you know, a pasuk or an idea that we never would have thought could be analyzed in that way can be. But Yeah, it's also okay if we don't. Meaning, it's also okay if we just take the Rebbe's Torah more as a tefillah without asking,
right.
You know. But what about the Ritva and Daf? Hey, is that, you know, like we don't have, like we can let that. I think we can let that go also. Okay, all right. Let's try the next piece. We'll do one more piece. It's a longer piece. Im avonos tishmor ka. We're not going to do the whole thing. We'll see what we can do. Im avonos tishmor ka. Hashem mi'amod. Everyone knows this pasuk. We say it all the time. Im avonos tishmor ya Adonai mi'amod. We all know this pasuk. Im avonos tishmor ka. If Yud and Hey, that's half of Hashem's name, is shomer our avonos. If Hashem, if you guard our sins, in other words, if you don't release us from our sins, if you don't forgive our sins, if Hashem, if you keep, so to speak, our averos, then Hashem, mi yamod, who will survive? Right? So says the Rebbe, lahavin harem is tishmor ka. First of all, why use this name of Hashem? Why doesn't it say im avonos tishmor Hashem, the full name of Hashem? And more so, if you're using this name Yud and Hey, so then why does it say why does it then say Aleph Dalid Nun Yud Mia Amod? Now again, the Pashup Shot is this is not a question at all. The Pashup Shot is if God guards our iniquities, if Hashem keeps our averos, then Hashem, what's going to be with me? Mia Amod, right? But we're reading it Hashem Mia Amod. Hashem, how are you going to stand? How are you going to exist? So what's this transition that everyone wants to know? Why does it start off Lama Dafka Yud and Hey? Why start off with this name of Yud and Hey? V'chein Lama Lo Amar Ka Mi Ya'amod. Why doesn't it say Yud Hey Mi Ya'amod? Why does it then switch to a different name of Hashem? Adonai Mi Ya'amod. What's the pshat? So we need to understand a little bit of deeper Torah. Rebbe's going to go a little deeper than we've seen in the past with us, but we'll hopefully be able to understand. Aval Isa beGemara Menachos, the Gemara Menachos tells us on the pasuk, Ki beka Hashem Tzur Olamim. With Yud and Hey, Hashem created Tzur Olamim. Hashem created worlds. With Yud and Hey, Hashem created worlds. Says the Gemara, Olam Habra Nivra bi Yud, v'Olam Haze beHey. Olam Haba was created with the letter Yud. Olam Haze was created with the letter Hey. How many people have heard of this Gemara before in Menachos? Okay, with Yud Olam Haba, Hey is Olam Haze. Keep a ka with Yod and Hey, Hashem created worlds. The pasuk says in Yeshaya. V'hagam she'ein anu masigim in yadam gavom ke'elu, and even though we can't grasp, we can't understand such lofty ideas. Mikol makom hanogeya la'avoda navina lefi matzaveno. But with regard to how it impacts our practical lives, we need to try to understand. We're not trying to be Kabbalists here. We're not trying to meditate right now on different names of God. We're not trying to understand what it means in the outer realms. We're trying to understand b'derech avoda. Practically, what does it mean for us in our matzav? Lama rak b'yud and hey nivra'u v'lo b'vav hey. We know Hashem's name is Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. So why, when Hashem created the world, did He create Olam Haba with a Yud, Olam Haza with a Hey? Where's the rest of God's name? Where's the Vav Hey? Where's the Vav and Hey? Yeah, Yoni. Yeah, what does it mean to create a world out of a letter? Great question. Anyone? What does it mean to create a world out of a letter? Well, when we understand more about what names are, which he's going to explain to us, maybe we'll have a little more insight into that. But it's not a simple thing to try to even understand. Okay, so Yud and Hey were the letters used to create the world. But what about the Vav and the Hey? How many times, by the way, does Hashem's name Yud, K, Vav, K appear in the Torah? I like throwing out random questions like this. By the end of the year, you'll be able to answer them faster. In the Torah. How often does Hashem's most basic name appear in the Torah? How many psukim are there in the Torah?
300,000.
How much? Not letters, psukim. Let's just do psukim. And then we can take an educated guess about how many times Yud Kei Vav Kei appears in the Torah. There are 5,845 psukim in the Torah. The way to remember it, I don't know why this is the way to remember it, Hachama, which means the sun. So what? Hey is 5, Ches is 8, Mem is 4, Hey is 5. Okay? Hachama. 5,845. 5,845 psukim. Less than 6,000 verses in the Bible. Okay? So how often do you think Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, appears? Take an educated guess. Once every 3 psukim, once every 5 psukim. Every other pasuk, how many Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemur's are there? Right? It's a lot of those. So take a guess. What do you think?
About 3,000.
You think about every other pasuk you have a name of Hashem. Yud Kevav. Really?
3,300.
Wow, that's a lot. That's like you're basically saying every pasuk has Hashem. More than 50%.
Yeah.
I would probably guess about
1,000.
Anyone with Hashem names?
1,700. Okay, Ozzy's the closest so far. 1,820. 1820.
I was really off.
There's 1,820 times Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei appears in the Torah. So if that's your name, God, and you use it basically every third pasuk of Chumash, right? I mean, we have Elohim, we have Shakai, we have this name, Yud and Hei, a couple of times, but this is your main name. So why, when you created the world, did you create Olam Haba with just the Yud of your name? Olam Hazeh with the Hei of your name? What's the Vav Hei? What's the Vav Hei? So he explains, Aval Vav Hei B'Yisrael Tluyim V'Heim Boirim Bahem. An amazing line, maybe you could die to underline. The Vav Hei is what? B'Yisrael Tluyim. Is dependent upon us. Hashem built out the framework of the world with a Yud and a Hei. We build out the rest with a Vav and a Hei. The Vav and a Hei is dependent. Tluyim means hanging. It's dependent upon us. V'Heim Boirim Bahem. And we do the building with the Vav and the Hei. I'll tell you a quick secret, without too much elaboration, just very quickly. Think about the word mitzvah. Ever think about the word mitzvah? The relation between the word mitzvah and Hashem's name. Well, the last two letters are the same, Vav and Hei. What about the Mem and the Tzadi? Does Mem and Tzadi have a relationship to Yud and Hei? What do you mean in the reverse? In Atbash, that's right. The Atbash of Yud is Mem. And the Atbash of Hey is Sadi. Everyone knows what Atbash is? We exchange Aleph with Taf, Beis with Shin, the first letter and the last letter. So Yud and Hey in Atbash is actually Mem and Sadi. So Mitzvah and Yud Kei Vav Kei have this very deep connection. Ah, why are the second letters the same in the first part? Hidden, concealed, reversed. Okay, it may have something to do with what we're learning. It's not going to talk about that, but you should just know that you should know that secret of Torah and you can figure out what you want to do with it another time. Okay? Hear the Rebbe again. Yom Adaf Lamed Ches. Everything Hashem created in this world was created for His honor. And we're partners in creating that honor, bringing that quote Shemayim. Nimtza Olam Hazev, Olam Haba, Shabara Kaddish Baruch Hu B'Yud Hei. The world of Olam Haba and the world of Olam Hazev, which Hashem created with Yud and Hei, His Galus Kvodo Bar. When Hashem did His part, when He built out His part of the business, so to speak, Yud and Hei, that's a giloy, that's a revelation of His honor. Ukishi Yisrael Odim Oso Yisbarach. But when we do our part with the Vav in the Hay, so then we also add honor to the kingdom. Now look what he said, look at the words. Kishi Yisrael Odim Oso Yisbarach B'midos Shehem Bechinas Vav V'ol Malchus Shemayim Shehi Bechinas Hay Tata Kenoda. Those who are more familiar with Sefer Chassidus know what he's talking about. Those who are not are totally lost. So let's
do a little review. And now when the MTA Rebbeim come in, they'll say, what goes on in this class when I'm not here? Like the Kabbalah class, what's going on in here? Okay, so we have the 10 spheres. What's at the top?
Keser.
Maybe something called Das. Not really one of the spheres, so the parentheses.
It's like what? Sometimes it's L, sometimes not.
What else we got?
Oh, is it Baron?
Chesed.
Baron.
Gura.
Chesed.
His name is not Yosef Zohar for no reason. There's a reason his middle name is Zohar. Okay, Chesed. Gura. I'll move the Shender in a second. Teferes.
Netzach.
Netzach. Okay, let me get the Shtender out of the way so everyone can see what's going on here.
Okay, these are the 10 spheros. You'll say, what are the 10 spheros? What are the 10 spheros? Who wants to say what the 10 spheros are in one sentence? Go.
They are, in some sense, attributes of Hashem's infinity that He is concentrated in specific elements that make up the foundation of reality as we
know. I love that. You did a good job. Right? It's somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond description. Hashem doesn't have a body. Hashem can't be packaged into little circles like I drew on the board. Right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, kiviyachol, wanted to manifest himself in this world. And he does so through different attributes. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we often divide them into the, so to speak, what we call mochin, which we can translate as sort of intellectual attributes. Right? Mochin, we often talk about Chabad, when we hear Chabad, this is Chachman Bina Das, that all kind of takes place in here. And then we have the lower seven midos, which we can translate as emotional attributes, some other type of manifestation of Hashem's character. Okay? So now, what did the Rebbe just say?
Why are they drawn like that?
I'll tell you in a second why they're drawn like that. So the Rebbe said what? Let's look at the words again. The Rebbe said, "Kishi Yisrael ovdim oso yisbarach b'midos." When we serve Hashem with the midos, okay? So we're talking about the lower seven. We're talking about the lower seven midos, right? It corresponds to the 7 weeks of Sfira, so Omer, Chesed Shebechesed, Chesed Shebegvura, Chesed Shebetiferes, right? Each week of Sfira, so Omer, you don't even need a Nusach Svart article sitter to find it. Each week of Sfira, so Omer, working on a different Midah, a different attribute of Hashem. And the Rebbe here says, when we're working on those Midos, Shehem Bechinas Vav, Va'ol Malchus Shemayim, Shehi Bechinas Hei Tata, the lower Hei. What's the Rebbe talking about? So how do I match up these midos of Hashem, these sviros, how do I match them up with the letters of Hashem's name? Bar Yochai. Yeah, that too. Which one? Who knows it well? I don't know Bar Yochai. I don't know it so well myself. Bar Yochai. Yud Chachma Keduma. Yud. Yud is Chachma.
Chachma is the letter Yud of Hashem's name. Bina is the letter He. Okay. What about Keser? Keser, the crown, is the point on top of the Yud. Chachma is Yud. Bina is He. The next six, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Chod, Yesod, these next six are Levav. Six. And then the final Hey of Hashem's name is Malchus.
Hey Tata. What does he mean by the lower Hey? There's two Heys in Hashem's name. There's Yud and Hey, and then there's Vav and Hey. Okay? The first Hey is Bina.
Chachma and Bina. Now, Yosef Manis asks, what's with the funky
right side, left side, middle? Yeah.
The right side, we always know, is Chesed oriented, Chesed on the right. The left side is the Kodesh Baruch Hu's side of Din, right? So this chart is also reflecting a certain energy that each of these spheres have.
And there's a relationship, meaning
there's a relationship between Gvura and Hod because they're on the left side. There's a relationship between Chesed and Netzach because they're on
the right side. Okay? If you want to get to know these midos, these spheres better, so you should invite them into your sukkah. And the first night is Avram Avinu, is Chesed. The second Ushpizin of Sukkot is Yitzchak, is Gvura. Tiferes is Yaakov. Right? All the way down to Malchus, David HaMelech. The seven Ushpizin, seven Sviros, 7 weeks of Sviros HaOmer. Yeah. There you go. That's a good teaching. It's a good teaching. Yes, Azi. Is Ushpizin Kabbalah? The source for Ushpizin is the Zohar and Parshas Emor, so I guess yes. I guess so. That's the source that we have guests in Sukkot. But it's connected. Each of the guests is really another way of interacting with these midos of Hashem. Okay? So the Rebbe is saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is operating kind of up here in Chachma and Bina world.
Yod and Het. I created that. And there's a ton to think about here. That means what we just said is if Olam Haba is connected to Yod, that means Olam Haba was created with Chachma, and Olam Haza was created with Bina. Right? Because we said Olam Haba is created with the letter Yod, Olam Haza is created with the letter Het. But again, that's not our avoda. Our avoda is not to get caught in our heads. You hear?
Our avoda is to do something lamaisa in this world, to be a person of chesed, to be a person who has gevura, ezu gibura, kovesh es yitzro, to control your yitzhara, to be a person of teferis, to apply these things, lamaisa, in the lower realms. That's how we build out the world of vav and hey. That's what the Rebbe is saying here. So Hashem did his part with yud and hey, and now it's our job, right, through the midos and through Kabbalah's ol malchus shamayim, we establish the vav and the hey of Hashem's kingdom. Okay? I know you probably have a lot of questions and there's a lot more to try to say. But let's keep going. V'ayin ha'gadamas ha'zohar kadosh, next little paragraph. Shekesh ish Yisrael mechadesh ma b'torah. This is an amazing idea. When you say a chiddush in Torah, when you say, Rabbi, here's what the pasuk means to me. It's a big chiddush, beautiful idea. Nivra al yedeizeh shamayim chadoshim. The Zohar writes in the Takdama that when a Jew says a chiddush, the same way that Torah was used to create the world, it was the blueprint of the world, istakul ba'oraisa ubara alma. So the same thing is true. When you say a chiddush in Torah, when you bring a new expression to Torah, you also bring what? You also create new worlds. That's an amazing idea. You create olamos. Hainu sha'avodas Yisrael gam kein briyahi. You might want to underline that line because it's going to be very important to understand the whole essence of this piece. That the avoda of a Jew is a bria, is a creation. We have creative powers, chavra. We have biological creative powers. The possibility of creating another human being. It's an unbelievable thing. We also have, what? Spiritual creative powers. So when we say a pshat in a gemara, we create an olam. We create olamus. Shenivra v'nizgal l'chela kvod yisbarach. You're bringing new revelation of Kvod Shemayim to such a degree that on high, B'marom, new heavens are being created, new worlds are being created through your creative powers. So now, next paragraph. B'yur en hei bara Hashem olam ha'atzilus v'achar kach b'riya shi'ezgalus kvod yizbarach v'achar kach bara yitzira yoser ezgalus v'achar kach asiya. If you want to number them 1, 2, 3, 4. Atzilus, 1. Bria, 2. Yitzira, 3. Asiya, 4. Those are the four olamos. If you've learned Nefesh HaChaim, you've discovered this idea. If you learn Sefer Chassidus, you'll see this idea. We talk about four worlds. Atzilus, the world that's closest to the essence of Hashem, whatever that even means. The world below that is called Bria. The world below that, says the Rebbe, is called Yitzira. And the world below that is called Asiya, the world of action, the world of doing. So where are we? V'Yisrael borim b'avodasim b'bechinas vavhei. So when we do our avoda, and we bring expression to the vav and hey of Hashem's name, shehi eskalus yaseira shaba Asiya, we're in the world of Asiya, and we're bringing more revelation into Asiya. When you got up this morning and put on your tefillin, you brought more godliness into a world of Asiya. Shebepoel ma mishis gala oro v'kedushaso gam begufnis haasiyah b'mitzvos maisios shebegufo mamish b'besaro damo v'kocho apimidosov. This is very Lubavitch sounding. This is very Tanya-esque. Right? That the greatest thing you could do for Hashem is what? Is give Hashem a body. I know that sounds crazy because the beauty of Hashem is that He's not limited by a body, but Hashem wants to manifest Himself everywhere. So Hashem says, I want a person who has a body. I want someone who's basar and is dam, is flesh and blood. I want a person with a guf to do what? To do mitzvos maisios. Hashem says, I want to manifest myself even in physicality. I know that's a very delicate point which requires a lifetime of explanation. But that's what Hashem is saying. So when you do a mitzvah in this world, when you work with the vav and hey, not in the theoretical yud and hey, not in the higher realms, but in the lower Olam Hazeh, Olam HaAsiyah realm of Vav and Hey, and you do mitzvos, af b'midosav, and you act with a personality of chesed, you become an ish chesed, you become an ish gevura, you become a person who manifests netzach and hod. When you do these things, apemidosav shalaish haba min nefesh habahamis, that even the nefesh habahamis, the animalistic soul of a person, is able to bring spiritual expression to the world. Shichayus hagufanios yase timshach chedushas alokis vator. So that's the greatest thing you could do for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, I made yod and hey, but I need you to be my body down below. And that brings Kvod Shemayim. With the midos of a person, with the body of a person, with the Torah and mitzvos of a person. Now, the next paragraph, these next four lines are very important and very lemaisa. Why are we so much better in theory sometimes than we are in practice? We all feel that way. We all know that I could do more, I should do more, I would do more. Right? And we get stuck for some reason. That we're really awesome Jews in potential. I know that. I believe that. In theory, I could learn Night Seder. I should learn Night Seder. I could get to Minyan on time. I should get to Minyan on time. I used to get to Minyan on time. I want to get to Minyan on time. And Lamaisa, I'm still the same schleppy guy, Lamasa and Olam Asiya, that I sometimes have, you know, always been. So the Rebbe says, second to last paragraph from the bottom, V'zeh ha'inyan, this is the concept, Shebemachshava rotze kol ish la'avodas Hashem. On the level of Ratzon, on the level of Machshava, in my mind, I know what I should do, I want to serve Hashem, V'rak b'poel mamish kashalo. But b'poel, l'masa, to act on it, mamish, to actually do it, right? Sometimes people are so in their head that they actually think that they're doing it, but they're not even doing it. There was a guy one time who was sitting in my office. We were talking about dating. He was telling me about a certain type, you know, like what he wants, what he expects, the person he's going to date, what type of girl he wants. And at a point I said, like, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I have to say this, because like the type of girl that you're describing is not the person you are, l'masa. Like, you want a girl who's makbid on A, B, C, and D, but you're not. I know in your head you are, and I believe that you can be, and maybe at a point you are, but that's not who you are right now. So that's not fair to say, like, I expect this because in my head I think I'm that. You're not that. You could be that. I'm proud of you that you want to be that. That's not who you are. So why does that happen to us? It happens to everyone. Wherever, Basher Husham, every person goes through that. Why is it that in our machshav, in our ratzon, we want to do good, but b'po mamish, we get stuck? And the answer is, b'pnei sheba machshava, in the world of machshava, in the world of yod and hey, in the world of chokhmah and bina and das, kfar nivra hiskaluso, ki Hashem bara. All the work is already done there. That's Hashem's domain. Hashem set that up perfectly. So in that realm, everything already makes sense. But in the lower realms, where in the place of Aravoda, in the place of Vavenhei, where we have to actually get out of bed in the morning, there we have to be builders. We have to create new realities, Bria Chadasha, new realities, Vekashalo, and that's difficult. Amazing piece so far, no? Explains so much. It's Torah Psychology 101. Uvizeh, bottom paragraph. Uvizeh efshar lahavin ma'at lefi matzavenu. So now, let's go back a little bit to Yoni's question, which is, what does it mean to create a world with a yod or a hey? I mean, these are components of God's name. What does that mean? How do I use Hashem's name to build anything? With this, we can understand a little bit, according to our level, the medrash, she says. Amar Rabbi Acha, b'shah shabah kadosh baruch hu livro es ha'adam, when Hashem intended to create man, nimlach b'malachi asharis, Hashem had a conversation with the angels. Nimlach means he sought their advice. He's going to give you nothing but trouble. Amar lahen nasa adam. He said to the angels, right? Hashem in his humility didn't say, I'm making man. Hashem said, nasa adam, let us make man. Hashem pretending that there's partners with him. Of course, nasa adam was what Moshe was scared to write in the Torah, because it looks like there's more than one God. Nasa is in plural. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, anyone who wants to take my Torah and pervert it, they'll find plenty of ways to pervert it. You just write. What does Nasa Adam really mean? It's a lesson in humility. It's Hashem's way of teaching us that Hashem pretended to seek the advice of the angels. So the angels say to Hashem, Amr lo, Adam ze mativo. So the angels say, tell us, mativo. Right? Tell me the nature of this fellow. What's he like? This man that you have this image of creating. Turn the page. Amar lehen. I guess Hashem could tell the way the angels were asking, like, You're going to create someone out of dirt down there. Like, you've got us up here. What do you need that for? They were saying it probably in a cynical way. So Hashem's response is also sharp. What does Hashem say to the angels? His wisdom is greater than yours. His chachma is greater than yours. Hevi lefaneim esavehima v'esachayi v'esa'of. Amar lehem zeh ma'ashemo. And Hashem proved it to them by bringing before them animals. Hashem brought behemos and chayos and ophos before the angels, and they said, angels, tell me, what's the name of these creatures? V'lo hayu yodin. The angels didn't know the answer. Haviran lifnei Adam. So Hashem says, he brought the animals before Adam. Amar lo zeh ma'ashemo. What would you call this Adam? All right, what's funny in this medrash is I thought Adam wasn't created yet, but the possibility of Adam was existed in the olamo. So Adam, what would you call? You know, what would you call this creature? Amar zeshor, this is an ox. Zechamor, this is a donkey. Zesus, I would call this horse. Zegamal, I would call this one camel. Va'ata, and you, Adam, what would you call yourself? Mashemecha. Amar lo, ani na'a likare Adam. I should be called Adam. Shenevresi min ha'adama, because I come from the dirt. Adam, from the Adama. Va'ani mashemi, and Hashem says, and what would you call me? Amar lo, lecha na'a likaros alef dalet nun and yod. You should be called Adonai. Why? She'ata Adon lechol b'yosecha. Because you're the Adon. Adon Olam, Hashem Malach. You're the Adon. You're the master of all. So you should be called Adonai. Shall pipshuto kasha lahavin lama be'emes yikra Adam es shemos divrei olam. Why did Adam, Pasha Psha, what is this little, this is how Adam justifies his existence. This is how Adam proves that it makes sense to be created, because I know how to name things, I have good names for things. V'lo Odom, more than that, elagam es shem alef dalet nun and yud, this name that he calls Hashem, Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? This name that he calls Hashem by, why that name Dafka? What's that name about? What's the secret of that name? What did Adam recognize? What was the wisdom of Adam? I mean, he said Sus, he said Gamal, he said Shor, Chamor, and then he said Adam, because I come from Adama, and you're the master of all, so you should be called Adon Olam, you should be called Adonai. V'lama nikra zos, tehei tochacha neged ha-malachim. Sorry, lama Dafka zos, why Dafka is this? The proof against the angels, Livro Asadam. How does this justify his existence? So says the Rebbe, let's talk about what a name is. Just a couple more minutes, Chaim. Aval noda sheshem kol davar hu chiyuso. Your name is your vitality. Your name is your inner essence. Your name reveals the secret of your neshama. You should think about your name. You should contemplate your name. You should know that when your name was given to you, it was given to you with Ruach HaKodesh. Parents have Ruach HaKodesh as their yizal, to pick out a name for their child. We've said many times in the past that if you look at the word neshama, the Baal Shem Tov says the middle two letters are shame, because the inner essence of your neshama is your name. It's also related to the word sham. There you are. That is who you are. There. Sham. There. That's how you define a person. Your name has a lot to do with your inner essence and your inner kochos ha-nefesh. Kamo shekasov nefesh chaya, the nefesh, the soul of a living being, hu shemo. Sheshemo, hu nefesh achiyos shalom. Your name is the key to unlock your inner soulfulness, your vitality. V'yesh kriyas shem la'acher shachayos kvar nivra. But think about it like this. How do you name something after it's already alive? A very sharp question. If the name is what gives vitality to something, so then you have to have a name in order to exist. How do you exist and then give it a name? It must be that naming something could be a way to give it greater chiyus, a recreation. It exists on a certain level. When the baby is born and it doesn't yet have a name, right? It's already has chiyus, it's breathing, it's alive, Baruch Hashem. When the parents at the bris give it a name, and all of a sudden we say, Zeh katan gadol yiyah, right? Like what? All of a sudden we have like great aspirations for this kid because he got a name. What do you mean? He was alive before, just called him a name. But a name gives vitality. So when Adam named things, Adam was giving it greater energy. It's revealing what? The ischadshus of the Bria. Man's creative ability to create something, to transform something. Of course we know that the Rambam says, based on the Gemara, that one of the ways that we do tshuva is what? Shinoi shemo, change your name. which according to some Rishonim means literally change your name. Right? Maybe start going by your whole Hebrew name instead of your English name or whatever, I don't know. But the Rambam says change your name means change your reputation. Transform yourself, right? Change your name means change your reputation in the world. Be a different person. Well, this is who I am. Not true. It's chachos. Yeah.
Isn't there an idea that 8 is the monomath of also?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. He's going, that's right. He's undergoing a massive transformation. He's going from being just a regular person to becoming a superhuman. Lamala menatev. We're unlocking the kochos and nefesh. That's right. That's why the name, why should the name come with the bris, right? You could ask the question like that. Name the baby the first day. We picked out a name already. Make a mishaberach and call it a day. But the answer is that no. The same way that removing the arla from the makomila is uncovering, right, inner potential. So a name also. Name is also at the same time revealing inner potential. Yeah. Assume so. That's your name. That's your real name. You can write whatever you want in the legal documents. Your name is your Jewish name. That's your name. Yeah. I imagine. Lashon HaKodesh. Yeah, I imagine. I assume so.
Why is it also important the first and last letter of your name, and that's what your pasuk is based on?
I could kind of make something up. I could make a few things up, but I don't know. So I'll give you an honest answer first. I don't know. Beginnings and ends are usually, you know, hyper sensitive, charged with greater inner is also charged. So you could, I don't know. I'm not sure. But that pasuk is a way to help you to remember your name, whatever that means, in the next world. Yeah. Rashi Tevo, Sofe Tevo. There's a lot to say about that in general, but I'm not sure why. Okay, so your name is your vitality. So, Chaver, so listen. So, Yesh Kriyas Shem La'acher Shachayas Kvar Nivra. There's a way to name something after it already exists. Like it says, Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom. What do you mean? It's already called Or. So now Hashem gave it another name. He called it Yom also. Shekara Shemo La'acher Shekvar Baras Hayom. Yeah, Hashem created the day, and then Hashem labeled it and called it a Yom. V'yesh kriyas shem shal yideya kriya nase hadavar v'nivra hachiyus. There's a way that by naming something it creates that reality. So he says, for example, Bitzalel ben Uri ben Chur. It's late, so I'm just going to speed up a little bit. Bitzalel ben Uri ben Chur from Shevet Yehuda is filled with the spirit of Chachma, of Tvuna, of Das. So says the Rebbe, that by labeling Bezalel, by calling him by his name, that helped to unlock those potential of Chachma, that Bina, that Das. When Moshe changes Hosea ben Nun's name to Yehoshua, that unlocks his inner potential. And it's that creative energy that human beings have that angels don't really have. And when Adam proves that I know the secret of naming things, that I have the ability to unlock and to be creative, angels, they're very loyal, they do their job very well, but they don't have creative powers. Creative powers also means we could create a lot of havoc in the world. We can cause a lot of destruction in the world. We have Elios and Yeridos. Angels are omdim. They just stay in their place. They're very well behaved, right? But they're like a little, you know, too good, so they're annoying. Hashem says, I want a geshmak, a human being. I want baser v'dam. I want a person who can make choices. Sometimes bad choices, I understand, but also really holy choices. I want a man who could be mechadesh, a name for something, and to unlock its potential. Okay, for the sake of time, let's drop down to the bottom paragraph on the page. We'll do two more paragraphs. Lachain, Zman HaTshuva. So now, let's think about what's happening as the world. Tiku B'chodesh Shofar. The world is in a state of renewal. A new year, Rosh Hashanah. Coming up, friends. Still haven't processed it yet, but it's coming up. A new year, so Tshuva. What is Tshuva? Tshuva, to recreate yourself. To redefine your experiences, that's the ultimate what? That's the ultimate renaming of something. Lachain zman ha-tshuva hu b'rosh Hashanah, zman b'riyas ha-olam. If tshuva is about recreation, so obviously tshuva takes place at the time of creation. Creation and recreation should be partners. Mipnei shegam ha-tshuva, sheikar hi avodas Hashem me'ata b'riyahi. What a beautiful line. That's a very poetic line. It's kedai to underline it. that tshuva, which is what? Which is avodas Hashem me'ata, from now, briyahi. It's a new creation. I lived a certain way, tafshin pe aleph. I'm recreating myself with new intentions, new goals, new aspirations, a fresh start for tafshin pe beis. I want to live different this year. Chid shuma aseichem. Like it says in the Medrash. Renew your actions. What do you mean renew? What I did in the past is done. What I haven't done in the future is not yet here. But to be in a state of renewal, of recreation. Bechinas hamachadish b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishis. As Hashem is constantly renewing every moment. Every breath we take, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, we don't just exist in a linear fashion. We're being recreated every second. Our body hints to that to us through the constant beating of the heart, through the blinking of the eyes. But on a spiritual level, we're literally being, you know, if Hashem like decided to stop, it's not that we would suddenly collapse to the floor. We just would bloop, disappear off the screen. As if we never were. As if we never were. In a second. So the Rebbe, in the next top of the next paragraph, he explains how this is part of Shri Yasa Kelim, from the beginning of time, the beginning of creation, Yasar Haruge Malchus. He says some deep things. But let's go to one final paragraph. You see the paragraph on Kuf Peites, Vereishis Kol? We'll end with this. Vereishis Kol, Shinizchadish, Anachnu B'tshuva. First and foremost, Halacha L'maisa, what does all of this mean to us? We learned some very deep ideas. To renew ourselves with tshuva. Lo bilvad shalo nases asher asinu ad ko. Not just to stop doing the things that we've done until now. Rak tov nasa. I want to be a radically different person. I want to do so much good. Rak gam kishen nasa b'chol atzmeinu brios chadashos tovos ovdei va'avdei Hashem. That I want not just to even score more points. I want to be a different person. I want to, like the Rebbe himself in his famous spiritual diary, Tzav Zeros, which we learned in yeshiva a number of years ago, one of the most famous entries in the Rebbe on his 40th birthday said, what should I do? What should I do now that I'm turning 40? I want to be mekabel something upon myself. What was the Rebbe's conclusion? He says, I want to convert to Judaism. That was his conclusion. I want to be a ger. Ger, you're a Jew. No, but I want to recreate myself like a ger who goes from being a total outsider to a total insider. I want to completely recreate myself. He says, I feel like a wax figurine of myself, like a picture of myself. It looks right, but I want to make it so much more alive. But the Rebbe could say such a thing. I want to convert. So that's what he's saying here. I don't want to just do less averos, do more mitzvos. No, I want to be a totally different person this year. I want Tafshin Pei Beis Mishana Shemo to redefine my essence. V'azgam kol olamos yitachnu kenizkar le'el. And not only when I change the bria, I change the whole world when I do that. She'is ha'Yisraeli bori b'chinas vav and hay, because I add the vav and hay, v'kori b'shemos kulam, and I start to define things and I help things to unlock their potential. V'al yedeze gam b'shem aleph dalid nun yud yisbarach kore. That Hashem will not just be called yud and hay, but Hashem will be called yud kei vav kei. Hashem will be called by the full name. She'megala malchusu yisbarach. So who remembers the pasuk we started with? Now the pasuk is so simple to read. Pasuk we didn't understand at all at the beginning. Says the Rebbe, four more lines. V'zeh im avonos tishmor ka. If Hashem, if you don't believe in the possibility of us being what? Creative beings. If you keep our averos, then you know what? You're going to be stuck on the level of yud and hey. There's not going to be the full expression of Malchus Shemayim in this world that you want. V'pnei sheshem yud and hey hu yisbarach pa'atzvo baro v'lo Yisrael. Then what? Then you're putting on a show for yourself. You're living on your own, God. Va'afilum yisharu ha'avonos. And even if these averos remain, shame ze yud and hey yisha'er. And if you'll say, well, at least I get to keep the yud, even if with averos I still get to be yud and hey. But we say to Hashem, you think yud and hey is enough? On a certain level it's enough. But Adonai mi'amod, what's going to be with your full name? If you choose to keep us from renewing ourselves, and you'll say, Im avonos tishmar ka, at least I get to keep my yud and hey, but Adonai mi amor. What's going to be with the rest of your name? What's going to be with your world? Wouldn't it be nicer if you gave us the push to believe that we could actually start over and make the world a better place, and we can meet you halfway? You do the yud and hey, we'll do the vav and hey, and we'll meet up with Mashiach. Ki shem ze Yisrael korim oso kenizkar le'el. And that is the name that we call Hashem. Remember the Chiddush? What did Adam say? How did Adam name Hashem? He said, you're Adonai. You know what Adam was saying? It's so deep, that medrash. Adam was saying, Hashem, until now you've called yourself Yod and Hey. But I know that you're more than that. I know that you could be Adon. You could be the full thing. Hashem says, ah, angel, see how smart Adam is? He's going to partner with me to bring the Vav Hey to make my name complete. He shames that Yisrael Korim Oso Kenizkor Le'el B'medrash Adam Rishon Kara Oso. That we call what? Adam called Hashem Adon. And the Gemara says that Avram Avinu Kara Oso. Avram was really the first Jew to call Hashem what? Adon. Because the avodah of a Jew, Avram Avinu, set the stage for all of us. That we have to be what? Partners with Hashem to try to bring Hashem's name to full expression. So the creation of the world, which took place on Aleph Tishrei, recreation of ourselves, which is the recreation of the world, which will take place in a couple of days from now, Aleph Tishrei, it's one and the same thing. It's the redefining of our essence, naming ourselves. It's redefining the potential of the things around us. It's giving Hashem a voice, a full expression in the world. Okay? Okay, Han. Ad Kana Kaf Gimel, our third Rosh Hashanah, year of Piyas Etzner Rebbe. Okay, we're very lucky that we have a Rebbe.